Pause and thank everybody that has spoken. Haven't our Wednesday night speakers done such a fabulous job? Hey, let me do this. If you're here and if you've spoken on a Wednesday night, just stand up where you are. See Terry back there, Monroe over here. Man, some of these guys have told me that they have never spoken in this capacity before. So they, not only did they just do a good job anyway, but to be in front of the crowd, let me assure you, for me, you know, I can be speaking to somebody very normal and have all my thoughts together and get in front of everybody and everything is just like, where'd it go? You know, it's like, what happened? But these guys have done a fabulous job. Tonight, I titled the message, Eyes Wide Open, because we're on a journey through life. And I don't care what you have to do, you need to keep your eyes open. Whether you have to put matchsticks in there or whatever you have to do, you need to keep your eyes open as you go through life, because I have learned this. If you don't learn the lesson the first time, you often get to experience the lesson again. And if you don't get it then, you get to experience the lesson again. I don't need to keep repeating myself because you guys get the point. You know, it's kind of like the guy that said first grade was the three greatest years of my life. You know, if you don't get it, you just get to do it again. So as we're on this journey through life, we need to keep our eyes wide open so we can see what God is doing with us, because it's just a fantastic experience. If you know Jesus, man, you are in such a great position. He is teaching us all the time, and we just need to get the lesson. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, you're missing a fantastic opportunity to see and have Jesus teach you, because it is just a great thing when you can see what Jesus is teaching you. It's just very, very exciting. And tonight, if you've had me in class for Sunday morning small groups, or if you've been around me very much, you'll probably hear something tonight that I have said before, because some of the lessons in here have just been really key to my heart and my life. And so I've really, really enjoyed some of the stuff in this lesson here. And the title, Eyes Wide Open, James 4:14, that says, we're like a vapor that appears a little while and then vanishes away. And I've said to a lot of people before, I was in a Bible study in college, and it was a cool night, and our Bible study leader had us go outside, and he had us go, and we did the whole night on, you're a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. So our life compared to eternity is just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. So we don't have long, and so we need to keep our eyes wide open so we can see what Jesus is doing with us and for us. Sometimes we close our eyes, and I want to give you this Christian Swahili proverb. Life has meaning only in the struggle. Victory or defeat is in the hand of God. So let us celebrate the struggle. You know, sometimes we get all excited when everything is going well, but this Christian Swahili from Africa is telling us we should enjoy the struggle. You know, if you have been alive very long, you realize life has struggles. There are things that happen. There's sickness. There's family. There's stuff that happens, and we have to navigate life, and Jesus is often teaching us through the struggles, and we're learning more through struggles than we are successes. So we want to get it. Now, I told you I am in a map phase of my life, and so I've just been, for the last 3 or 4 years, just carried away with maps. And so flip my map up there. I want to give you the map before I give you the passage, so as I read the passage, you can kind of put some of this stuff together in your head. What we're talking about tonight is Exodus 13, 17 to 18, so we're actually talking about the children of Israel and their journey. So what we have is, you know, they were over here making bricks. So if we were in the mall, what we'd say is, you are here in the mall, you're right there. So you're up there making bricks, and this is all of Egypt over here. And so the passage we're going to read tonight says, they did not go by the way of the Philistines, even though it was near. So the Philistines are right here. So you could know, you know, like Goliath would have lived right in this area right there. And so Goliath lived there, so they are warring people, and they were good at battle. A lot of people had trouble with the Philistines. This is the route that is often thought, you know, there's kind of three places that people think they may have crossed the Red Sea, here, or here, actually where I think they crossed it, but that's the route, and this is all the wilderness where they were for those 40 years. They were all in that land right there, and then they were stuck here for a long, long time after they crossed the Red Sea, and where they're going is up in here, right near that duck right there, to the promised land. It's not on the map, so it's kind of up that way is where they're going to get to the promised land. So let me read this passage to you. I love this passage. I got this passage. God gave it to me when I was in college. So let me just read it to you. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest the peoples change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. But God led the people around by the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt equipped for battle. So we know that the closest, on a flat surface, the closest way to get from point A to point B is what? A straight line. Now, on a globe, if you're a geometry person, it's a path, they say. But for our purposes, we're just going to say it's a straight line tonight. The closest way from point A to point B is a straight line. That's always true. It is always the closest. However, it is not always the best way to get somewhere. And in our passage tonight, it was not the best way to get people from where they were to where they needed to go. And I'm going to say this to each of you tonight. In your life, I guarantee you what God is doing with you, the best way for you has not been from point A to point B. I'd say nobody in here has had that kind of life. Maybe in sections of your life you've gone from point A to B, but your life in totality, you have not just gone from point A to point B. Because God does stuff with us, and that's why we have to go through life with our eyes wide open. God is doing stuff with you. God has a plan for your life. He wants to teach you things, and that's what he's doing with the children of Israel. That's the reason he didn't take them to the land of the Philistines, even though it was near. It was the closest way to get there. But they needed to learn some things. Flip me to my next slide there because I want to point out something to you. I kind of put this in a highlight because, for God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So what he was worried about was going from point A to point B, that they would see war, grow weary, and turn back. He did not want that. It's really interesting to me that in the very next verse, he says, and the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt, equipped for battle. You see that? They were equipped for battle, but he didn't want them to go through the land of the Philistines because they'd see war, grow weary, and turn back. Here's the point I want to make with that. God knows our capacity better than we do. You know, we think about capacity, it's how much something holds. Sometimes we talk about the capacity of a person or the capacity of our luggage. I always tell you something about China when I'm up here because It's just the traveling with people and the events that we've done. It just means so much. But capacity, when you talk about capacity to me, I think about many people that have taken the China trip. Because the capacity of their suitcase, when they go to get things to bring home, they know exactly how much it'll hold. They can, some of them even Christmas shop and do all their Christmas shopping, and they know exactly what'll fit in that suitcase. Sometimes when we talk about people, we talk about their capacity and what they're able to accomplish. Let me assure you of this. God knows your capacity. He knows exactly what you can do. He knew exactly what the children of Israel could do, and he knew what they couldn't do. What that does for me is it gives me a tremendous amount of confidence. When God asks me to do something, I hardly ever go, okay, God, I got it. I'm on it. I know I can do that. I hardly ever do that. But what I usually do is begin to pray about it and say, God, you've asked me to do this. Why did you ask me? And I think that's something sometimes we miss. When God asks us to do something, sometimes we don't stop and ask, God, why did you ask me to do that? You know, God knows your capacity. He knows what you can do. He knows what you can't do. He knew what the children of Israel could do, and that's the reason he took them out of Egypt. He knew they were ready for that. That's the reason he didn't take them through the land of the Philistines. That's the reason he taught them through the wilderness, and that's the reason they eventually made it to the promised land, because God knew their capacity, and he knows your capacity. He knows what you can do and what you can't do. So when God speaks to you, listen. Listen very carefully, because he knows what you can accomplish. And that's a very important thing to know. And that should give us confidence. The other thing, wrestling through a faith journey is nothing new. You know, sometimes when God asks us to do something, we think we're the only one, or if we have a struggle in our life, or we have anything, we think we're the only one that's ever been through that. You know, when we have a problem, you know, we become sometimes self-centered. I looked up a couple of terms. Egocentric is thinking only of oneself without regard for the feelings or desires of others. Self-centered. A narcissist or narcissism. Excessive interest or admiration of oneself. So I started thinking about this. And so something a narcissist might say, you know, when you start getting selfish, a narcissist would probably say something like this. I've talked about myself long enough. You talk about me for a while. You ever known anybody like that? Things you might say to a narcissist or somebody who's extremely self-centered or egocentric. Please tell me this train of thought, your own, has a caboose. I can't even say it. Please tell me this train your own has a caboose. Because they're going on and on and on. And so you want to know there's an end to this. These ladies here get it. And then this one I read, like things you might say to a narcissist. The sooner I shoot you, the sooner I'll get out of jail for doing it. Don't assume that's not a major incentive. Or something you should never, if you're trying to help somebody overcome being self-centered or a narcissist, please don't ever say this to them. You need to take a long look in the mirror. You know, you're not laughing. That's funny. You know, when we become self-centered, we look at what's going on, and the children of Israel did that. And we see them doing it over and over and over again. They looked at themselves and what was going on. And so God knew them, and he knew what was going on, and he had a faith journey for them. He wanted to get them to the promised land. And they said stuff like this. In Exodus 14:12, they said, "Leave us alone." They were actually speaking to Moses, but they knew they were also speaking to God. They said, "Leave us alone. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." You know, they were looking at not the journey that God had for them. They were looking at what they thought was right and what they thought was for them. They were missing what God had for them. In Exodus 16:3, and the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger." They got hungry and they got mad. So, you know, it's easy, it's just so easy to look at, you know, things from my perspective and not have my eyes wide open where I can see what God is doing. And seeing what God is doing by having your eyes open and watching what's going on is just so important. And, you know, I'm not those things I was saying about narcissists and egocentric people. I'm not saying that you all are like that by any stretch, but I'm saying we all have a little self-centeredness in us. We often look at what's going on. And so instead of ignoring or not seeing our faith journey, we need to look forward and see what God has so we don't see repeat the same lesson over and over and over. Following the next point, following the guidance he has for us right now takes us to the place he has for us someday. Now, with the children of Israel, especially in this passage, that is so true. If they just would have followed the guidance he had for them right then, they would have gotten to the promised land so much faster. But they kept struggling, they kept ignoring the word. They just looked at so many different things. For us, John Bunyan said this, "He who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find him all day." He who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find him all day. You know, that time we spend with God is just critical. It is so important. It is, if you want to go through life with your eyes wide open, you have to be listening to God. You have to be in the Word. Otherwise, you're using your own filter. And I want to be one of the many that's going to tell you your own filter is not very good. And we need to use God's filter for what He wants out of our life. Many of you have heard me, and I've used this so many times because Proverbs 16:9 is a great verse. "The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." And what that means is we sit over here and we think about what God is doing with us. And we go all the way to the end and we develop the outcome. The mind of man plans his way. And so when we plan the way, we decide what the final outcome needs to be. And often, if it's not the outcome that we predetermined way back here, we're upset with God. He didn't do it right. He let us down. Things didn't go right. I prayed and he didn't listen. There's so many things that we can say because that's the way we work as people. We plan our way all the way to the end. But the verse says the Lord directs our steps. So there is a place at the end, but the Lord wants to take this step with you and this step with you, and he wants to take this step with you and this step with you until you get to the end. That's what God wants to do with you. And so if you're going to go through life with your eyes wide open, you've got to let the Lord direct every step. And just like the Swahili proverb said when we started, you have to be comfortable with the struggles. Every step is not going to be paved with gold. A lot of steps are going to be struggles. But you have to accept the fact that God is with you and God wants to teach you. The children of Israel that we're talking about tonight, when he took them out of Egypt, he knew they were not ready to go through the land of the Philistines. He knew that. He took them into the wilderness on purpose. It wasn't like an afterthought. And almost the first thing that happened to them, they get into the wilderness and they have mountains on the left, the mountains on the right. They have the army of Egypt behind them and the Red Sea in front of them. And they're like, "Where? There's no way out. There is no way out." But God said, "I have a plan." And he parted the Red Sea and he took care of them, and he'll take care of us. The only thing we have to do is trust God and have our eyes open and be looking for what he's going to do, because he will do it. He will do something with us. And so we need to be sure that we let God direct every step along the way. He did it for the children of Israel. He'll do it for us. The other thing I want to point out is God often saves me from me. You know, sometimes we give Satan all the credit. You know, the devil made me do it. You know, the old Flip Wilson thing, if you're old enough to remember Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. You know, for a lot of us, the devil really doesn't have to do anything, because God has to rescue me from me. You know, either I have a lack of confidence, or I'm missing the point, or I've got my eyes shut and I'm not looking for what God is doing with me, but something's going on and I am missing the point. You know, it says that Satan is the father of what? Lies. Exactly right. He's the father of lies. And what we have to stop doing is listening to the lies and start listening to the truth. We have to do that. And to do that, we have to have our eyes open and be looking for it. The second thing we have to do is love ourselves. Not like the narcissist, like we talked about, or the egocentric person we talked about earlier, but we have to love ourselves and believe that God loves us. He's created us the way we are. I'm not saying we live in a sinful way. I'm saying God has a plan for your life, and he wants to develop you, and he wants to love you, and he has the word for you, and he wants you to pray, and he wants to be in relationship with you, and he wants to shape and mold your life. And you need to love the Father, and you need to love yourself, and let him do that. We can just love ourselves. We're good. So we need to love ourselves in a healthy way, and we also need to let God order our day. You know, sometimes we're so busy and we're so proud about talking how busy we are, and we have all these projects and all these things, and we just start loving talking about what we're doing. And I heard somebody, actually I read an article, and it was talking about that, and the article said, if you're so busy, you don't know what's going on, the problem is you're not letting God order your day. You're not letting God put things in place. God is not a God of chaos. God is a God that wants to take your life, and he wants you to love yourself, and he wants to love you so he can shape you and mold you and show you what he wants of you. That's what God wants from each one of us. He wants to help us get to where we need to be, not from point A to point B, but he wants to get us from point A, maybe way down here and around and over to point B. God is teaching. Your life is a place where God teaches you, and you have to be comfortable in your life and letting God teach you. I want to share this passage with you, and this is where I'm going to end, but it's in Numbers. If you were looking at Exodus 13, it'd be, I think it's 21 and 22. But the passage talks about how they had the pillar of cloud that they followed. I just like the way it says it in Numbers. It's the same thing, but in Numbers, it kind of reads like a bad children's story, really. But it makes a tremendous point. And we look at them, and they had the pillar of cloud to follow, and this is what it says. On the day that the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, And at the evening, it was over the tabernacle, like the appearance of fire, until morning. So it was always the cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And whenever the cloud lifted from over the tent, after that the people of Israel set out. And in the place where the cloud settled down, there the people of Israel camped. At the command of the Lord, the people of Israel set out, and at the command of the Lord, they camped. As long as the cloud rested over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. Even when the cloud continued over the tabernacle, many days, the people of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was a few days over the tabernacle, and according to the command of the Lord, they remained in camp. When according to the command of the Lord, they set out. And sometimes the cloud remained from evening until morning. And when the cloud lifted in the morning, they set out. Or if it continued for a day and a night, when the cloud lifted, they set out. And you might be thinking, wow, wouldn't it be great if I had a cloud in my life that I could follow that? And if it stayed a few days, I stay a few days. And if it's there, I camp. And I wait for the cloud until the cloud moves. And when the cloud moves, I'm going to go with it. It would be awesome to have that cloud like the children of Israel, where if God moved, you moved. And if God camped, you camp. But guys, let me share with you something that's just phenomenal. We have something in our life better than a cloud. We have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will lead you even better than the cloud that led the Israelites. You just need to be in close relationship with God and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And when that Holy Spirit tells you to set out, you set out. And when that Holy Spirit says camp, you camp. Whatever it is, whether it's a few days or a short time, you do exactly what that Holy Spirit says. And if we can do that, we can have our eyes open to see some really neat things that God wants to do with us. God wants to do things with us individually, and He wants to do things with us collectively as Eastwood Baptist Church. And we need to be praying. We need to be in the Word. We need to seek God's face. So when He moves, we move. And when He camps, we camp. Let's pray together. God, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for Exodus 13 and what it teaches us. I pray that we go through life with our eyes wide open so that we can see You and we can see what You're doing and how You're moving and what You want to do with us specifically. God, I pray that You teach us. And You teach us to depend upon that Holy Spirit and to listen to the Holy Spirit and to move at its guidance. God, we thank You for Your Word and just how close we can get to You through that. Not only individually, but as a church. And tonight, God, we are here collectively, and I know there's people in the congregation that are going, I need to be in the Word. I need to step up my prayer life. I need to be in closer communion with You. And I just pray tonight that they take that first step and they move to the altar and pray and ask for Your help. Because God, we know that things that we do aren't in our own power, but it's a faith journey that we take with You. It's a faith relationship where we believe that You'll lead us and guide us and teach us Your things so that we can know You in a great way. We are so blessed to be able to share a relationship with You and have You to guide us and teach us. and help us lead other people closer to you. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for the time to worship. I pray if people need to come and pray, they do just that. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you stand with us. Amen.